This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, Zach.
Super Bowl! Hi.
And he's gone. Just like that. That was quick.
Why'd you do that to me? Is he gone? Is he there?
Do you want me to drop him? I was going to drop him.
No, keep him. Listen to you laughing. Listen to that terrible, that mean-spirited, nasty chuckle you have there.
Again, I could still drop him.
We really should. Zach.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is the sky falling?
No, I really think it's not. I mean, it did for a couple of hours.
Okay, good.
But I really think it's not. There's, you know, things happen. It's a long season. There's precedent in this league for, you know, disasters. Teams need to get better no matter who you are. And without having the data to back up what I just said about the precedent, I can tell you this organization has had one winning record since 2002, and that season started with a loss worse than this one.
Well, we're not getting rid of the quarterback this time, though.
There we go.
Yeah, they traded the quarterback the next day, which was NFL history. But losing this game, I mean, it was deflating. I get it. It's alarming, sure. But I'm not writing this team off in terms of, you know, just bouncing back. There are a lot of things they obviously need to improve on. I agree with Freddie to an extent when he said yesterday that you know, he sees everything being correctable. You know, I look at who they play, and if teams that have disciplined defenses and really good secondaries are a tough matchup, then you're going to go 5-11. But I do think the Browns will play much better at some point. I don't think they can wait too long.
Why did they just keep trying to roast the ball down the field? Why didn't they try to set up a nice balanced offense after the first drive, and then they did it again in the late third quarter? Where was that? Where was the balance at, Zach?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Kent, and I think that goes to the whole point of there are a million ways to spin it, but one legitimately is that it just got away from you, right? As it will do, obviously. You know, I think Baker got a little gun-shy, and I think that's understandable. I just think they missed some, and then I think Tennessee took away his first read consistently and then was either hitting him or putting a guy in the passing lane that he wanted or he thought he was going to get hit. And, yeah, I mean, I think maybe a lack of trust in the line had something to do with not really trying better to establish the run. Or I think maybe the Titans' defensive line itself just had a lot more to do with not trying to establish the run. So in future games, they need to do that. These next few weeks, though, you look at the defensive lines that they play, and it's going to be a little scary. This offensive line has to play much better.
Zach Jackson, join us on the hotline. I'm curious as to the psyche and maturity level of this team. Obviously, we know how young they are. There just aren't a lot of veterans who have won and have been in big playoff games on this team, and so they're learning this on the fly with a rookie head coach. But I go back, I'm reading the articles about that joint scrimmage with Indianapolis and how they were so proud that they started all these fights. Freddie was screaming at players on the Colts. It's like now they kind of took on that same attitude. And I don't think they like the feeling of getting punched in the mouth. They didn't know how to react.
Yeah, well, they did react with Miles punched the guy after the play. Greg Robinson kicked the guy in the head, and they got penalized for it. Yeah, so one of the overlying concerns, and we've been talking about this since the winter, right, would be just handling the moment, the pressure, and being the hunted instead of the hunter. And I went directly to the Titans locker room, where I basically heard Kenny Vaccaro come out and say, we knew the Browns would retaliate. We kind of baited them into this. You know, we coached. And what he said was, we have a culture. We were the least penalized team in the league. Vrabel says, don't do this crap. And, you know, you look at a team that's been 9-7 3 years in a row, and their program is ahead of the Browns. I think people ignored that. People forgot that, or maybe people didn't know that because the Browns have been so bad for so long that some people forgot, you know, what it's like in the real NFL. But I'm telling you, the Browns still have good players. They still have 15 games left, and they're not going to have 18 penalties every game. I'm pretty confident of that. So, you know, do I think some people picked 12-4 and drank the spiked Kool-Aid without ramifications of the hangover? Yes. But do I think this team is totally done and it's going to spin out of control? I don't think so. I don't know that. We might be talking Matt Campbell in 2 months, but I don't think so.
That deserves a whoa. Ken doesn't want to do it right now. Ken's not having fun.
Myself.
He's not talking about him right now. All right, I got to ask you, Zach, because I brought up earlier in the show, obviously there was no Odell Beckham in preseason and very little in training camp. Same with Jarvis. And Baker was throwing to guys. Two guys that got cut were on the first team at times throughout. Do you think that had something to do with it, that there was just no way for them to be on schedule with all the different turnover there at wide receiver?
I think the answer is yes and yes. I don't think there was a way for them to be on schedule anyway. I just think you have to play in real games for guys to do this. And I, of all the things that have gone wrong and all the things that Freddie's getting bashed for and might get bashed for, I can't put Jarvis and Odell not playing in the preseason atop the list. Odell clearly had some issue, and Jarvis did too. Jarvis didn't play in OTAs at all. You know, he was eased in. We know what those guys can do and who they can be. And I just think you always knew it was going to take some time. So I really can't say that that's a huge factor. Is it a factor? Sure. But I just think it's bigger and that the Browns were just got out-prepared and outclassed in every way. I mean, did they not know that a team that doesn't have two starting offensive linemen and doesn't have a drop-back quarterback to start with was going to run screens and quick passes all day? I couldn't believe what I was watching at stage.
If the radio guys are bringing up in the pregame show, I would hope that the team actually thought it out. And remember, there was the play, there was a screen that just got dropped or overthrown at the beginning of the game, and they went back and tried it two more times, and it hit for that huge home run, obviously, with Derrick Henry. I think that was maybe the thing that I brought this up on the phone with you yesterday, Zach. It's just, you got really young players, you got beat by grown men. Part of this is going to happen, but it does put so much more pressure on this Jets game coming up, because then you got the Rams, then you got the Ravens, and you got some problems after that are heading for you. So you got to get something going before you take that Rams team on next Sunday.
I heard your analogy, and I mostly agree with it, but this is a big boy league, and you've signed up for this. And you're right. Of the next four games, two of them are Monday nighters on the road on opposite coasts. In between, you play the NFC champs and at Baltimore, where the Browns have won three times ever, and the Ravens rarely lose unless they're really bad. And they're not really bad. So, yeah, the Browns need a feel-good win, and they need to get a lot better. And they will. They will. But, you know, the reality of this hit a lot of people, and it's just going to be interesting to see how they respond. It's Greg Williams against Baker Mayfield, and all that's on the line is the whole season.
What? Scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about the offensive line?
Did you say offensive line? And cut
yes.
off for a second.
Yeah.
Offensive line. I would say pretty concerned. Again, that's always a group that they weren't going to come out in week one and play at the level that they did last December, because that just takes time. You have to play. You have to get your timing. But, yeah, I think all along when Freddie wouldn't commit to Eric Kush until 2 days before the first game, even though he'd been the guy since – 2 days before the first preseason game, you know, that's alarming. When you know, you're just short on tackle to start with, that's alarming. When Austin Corbett didn't win the job, that's alarming. And then, of course, you lose your number one tackle and your number three tackle for different reasons in the span of about 3 minutes, and you're playing a backup guard acquired 6 days earlier at right tackle. It's not going to go well. So it can only go up from there. But, yes, there's obvious concern.
Zach, Freddie has said multiple times in the offseason his defensive line, the revamped unit, is the strength of the team. Myles Garrett said it could be a bloodbath. That's what he was expecting. What did you think of that debut performance by the defensive line?
Well, Olivier Vernon can't have goose eggs. Olivier Vernon has to do more. You know, to go back to the original question, what we saw in Tampa is just proof that the preseason means absolutely nothing. Now, I do think there will be times, there will be stretches and maybe full games where we see that defensive line show up. But I just think the Titans were better prepared, even down two starters. They did what they had to do to neutralize them. Miles got his two sacks. What did it mean? You know, I agree in that it can be the strength of the team, but that probably, you know, why do some people think the Browns can be a playoff team, a really good team? Because they have a quarterback and they have a dominant, potentially dominant defensive line. And it just wasn't a good day for either group.
All right, we got to do the what-if game, and obviously with two desperate teams that are playing Monday night, we don't want to think of what happens if we lose that game, but does it feel like the season could possibly be over two games in? Is that absurd to think about?
It's absurd for me to answer yes, but it's not absurd to think about it, you know, given the way it laid out and given what your next six are. Let's just be honest. Teams really, all sorts of goofy stuff happens in the NFL in the first 2 to 3 weeks. And then from there, and I remember bringing this up last year and knowing why Hugh had to go, among other reasons, was that then it was clear that the teams were getting good, and they weren't. But when you look at this schedule, and any way you might have looked at it, in any month you might have looked at it, 5 months since it's been out, you needed to get at least one of these games. And then just when you talk about the vibe, or if they don't get this game because the offense flatlines again or because the defensive line doesn't make enough plays and Sam Darnold, who's 10 times better than Mariota, by the way, has a big night, then, yeah, it'd be all sorts of alarm bells, and it would be really hard to think that this team would make the playoffs. But, again, that game's still 6 days away, and I think the Browns can win it partly because couldn't possibly play any worse.
Lime even ventured to guess. Can I say this about you, about the margin of victory?
Yes.
What did you say about the margin of victory?
I said, obviously, they need to win, and if they win, we're going to be feeling good. We're going to be singing songs and dancing. But if they only put up, like, two touchdowns against the Jets, I think there's some concern. I think that it's in two games with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry and Baker, I think that's a little concerning if that's the case.
Valid, but you just need to win. And, I mean, I would think that at 20 points might win this game. I just expect it to be that kind of game. I mean, Greg Williams knows the Browns offense inside and out. The Jets have a really good defensive line. Now, Quinn Williams is banged up and CJ Mosley's banged up. So we'll see. It's still 6 days away, but I would kind of expect a field position type first to 20 type game.
Where's he going to play Jamal Adams?
West Rutherford.
That's the analysis I like.
Zach, I do want to know overall AFC North. I know you pay very close attention to these teams. Have you changed your thoughts at all on, you know, this order of teams right now in the division?
No. The Patriots just own the Steelers, and the Ravens beat West Geauga. So, no, not yet.
20-year anniversary of the Wolverina, by the way.
That's a creamy nougat from Anthony.
That's my creamy nougat
today.
Will
you please stop?
No, it's going to continue.
Sorry. Yesterday, Zach, the creamy nougat was that Freddie Kitchens has a worse winning percentage than Hugh Jackson.
It's Lima's creamy nougat.
Before I went to bed on Sunday night, I jokingly tweeted that everybody had to wake up and listen to sports radio tomorrow, right? So I woke up at like 6:15 yesterday just to pee because I'm old, and I checked Twitter and someone had tweeted the callers are already great. Now I went back to bed, but I can just imagine. I mean, I'll tell you guys, Sunday night I stared at my story for 2 hours. I was like, I don't even know where to start with this. Like, what do I even say? So I can't imagine. I have been listening on and off this morning, but I caught very little of yesterday. I can only imagine.
It isn't as bad as it was yesterday. It's a lot more measured. It is more measured. We did have somebody who wanted us to do a side-by-side comparison of Hugh Jackson press conferences and Freddie's one press conference. We elected not to.
Well, look, here's the lesson, right? It's not about press conferences or Instagrams or GQ articles, right? You just have to block and tackle.
It's true. It is true. What's the most expensive timepiece you've ever worn?
Yeah, I have never worn any piece of jewelry for any amount of time. It just goes back. I never did. And so when I have, it's never been comfortable to me. So I don't recall ever wearing a watch, maybe except for a day. And you know, I've had a cell phone now for 20 years, so I haven't really had to have one, but yeah, that part of it, I don't know. I don't know if this is what you signed up for, and it really doesn't matter if he catches touchdowns, right?
Have you ever booed at a sporting event?
Yeah. Have you ever heard about how bad my brother's basketball team is?
Yes. Are you booing the coaching or the players?
The coaching.
That's fantastic. All right, Zach, I'll see you in hell. Thank you for the time.
All right, thanks, guys.
The great Zach Jackson, A to Z podcast, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hello.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.